We should have a student with a microphone who's going to help us with the questions. Is someone here who's been assigned to that task? Well, here we have someone who's stepping forward as an unassigned volunteer. Thank you. We need you to ask your questions into the microphone, and then we need to give time for the simultaneous interpreters to repeat those questions, and the answers will, in some cases, be in languages other than English. So if you have your headsets, we will begin the questions and answers now. Let me open it to the floor for questions. Questions can be addressed to any of our panelists. We won't divide the question time into periods for each of our panelists. Yes, thank you. One, let me just get the microphone to you, and then we'll get your question.
This question is directed primarily to our guest from China. I'd like a little clarification on the status of house churches, because it seems as though in many cases they are hidden, unapproved, but yet you were able to have a conference. And so is this, they're not approved, but the government doesn't mind, or could you just clarify that a little bit for me? It would be helpful.
China? Yes.
This is a very good question. Actually, this is a very complicated phenomenon. I will say, government never recognized the house church and never stopped to fight with them. However, never get success. Because of that, it's caused numerous problems all over China. So finally, government realized to fight with the house church, almost impossible to win this war. So now they changed, not today, but for, I will say, several period, they changed their strategy. First, it was 1970s, 1980s, wherever there's house church, government just try to crack down. Then government choose a better strategy, which is only attack the most obvious or active one instead of attack everyone. Finally, government adopt a new strategy, which is as long as no foreigners in warring, as long as you are worship yourself in somewhere, not in the public place, government just pretending seeing nothing. I don't know what is words to say that. It's just a fact. Government knows all the house church, but try to make a sort of a peace. Not peace, it's just recognition without a name, or they won't give your paper, but you can organize yourself. This is why when you ask a house church, where is a house church? No name, no place, but everywhere we have. It depends whether you really want to go. If you want to go, you come to Beijing. I will show you. The biggest one, like 100, no, 800 or 1,000 house church in Beijing, several one like that. In Shanghai, several one like that. So everyone knows that. It's just no name. Or they do have a name, but no banner on the wall. So you know that is a house church. The reason I can have the conference on house church is because everyone knows this is a problem. No one point out this is a problem. So I said, okay, why are we pretending to see nothing? We need to deal with this issue. If this is a facts. You cannot pretend seeing nothing forever. We must find a solution. So Graham agrees that. So we invite the house church, invite the scholar, try to sit down to talk. Why is this problem? What is the solution?
Thank you. Other questions? Wait for the microphone, otherwise the interpreters won't be able to hear you.
Let me follow up with Professor Liu Peng. And you mentioned that the government tried to suppress house churches, but realized it was unsuccessful, so it has backed off. But in another case, Falun Gong, the government decided to suppress them, and they were very successful. So it seems that the government is making some choice of priorities. Falun Gong maybe is more threatening, so they're more vigorous in their suppression. House churches are less threatening, so they're less vigorous. But we know the government has the capacity to absolutely suppress this if they want. So they must make a choice not to do it.
Yes. The bigger concern behind that is if government wants to do that, government could. But it's an issue. How much price government want to pay, which determined by the numbers. If we only have, let's say, 50,000 house church, government can kill all of them or send them to prison. Finished. So if we have 5 million or 50 million, how many prison you have to build up? That's the one issue. Second, Falun Gong doesn't have a real background or connection or recognition from the international world or with connection with other countries. It's only China or outside of China, but by Chinese. But Christianity or house church is something always an issue between China and the US. Mr. Gong knows this very well. Each president of US with the China never missed opportunity to raise up issue, religion freedom or something like that. So if China wants to keep a good relation with US, we have a lots of good reason to have a good relation with US. How can we really make things like that to crack down the house church, to anti or to crack down Christian or Christianity is almost impossible in the whole world. How could China get success? But the Falun Gong is not considered as a religion. The doctrine or theology of Falun Gong is very, very little. It's a mixture from Buddhism and Taoism, a little bit about themselves. I will say, mainly is an organization for your body to exercise, to healthy your body. It was good for 10 years, from 1991 to 1999. Then they did some things surrounded Zhongnanhai, the headquarters of CCP, a scared party find, oh, they are very organized with a network, so crack down them. The number of Falun Gong compared with a house church or Christianity is very small. Although they claim they are big, but not very many. So Communist Party is very practical. It's doable. It's realistic to crack down Falun Gong. It's not realistic to crack down Christianity. By the way, Christian has a legal status. We have an official church, a three-self church. So it's really hard to say all the Christian is bad. Government purpose is try to put all the house church into official church. But if you don't want to join them, that's not an issue whether you're enemy or not. It's whether you are legal or illegal.
I think we have time for one final question, and then we will close this session. Professor Durham?
This will be a hopefully short questions to our Japanese and Nepali participants. On Japan, I thought the reference to the religious corporation was very interesting. Most Americans probably don't realize that this has emerged in the last decade or so as a predominant form of organization of American religious corporations. And I wonder, you referred to the post-World War II connections, but if there are any connections between current U.S. religious corporation law. And then for Professor Tapa, you described very carefully sort of the current status on law of conversion. Do you see any possibility in coming years of shifting to a more open ICCPR Article 18 toward approach on right to change religion?
Let's begin with Professor Tajika.
Because my transcript is finished, so I'd like to answer in Japanese. Do you have headset?
Concerning the question posed, it's about the Japanese Religious Cooperation Act and the U.S. Religious Cooperation, if there are any related, or has it had any effect in creating Japanese the Religious Cooperation Act? Concerning the matter, I believe there was a huge effect from the U.S. The operation, cooperation, religious cooperation, after the World War II, Japan was occupied by the United Nations forces, and the GHQ was the headquarters of that force, and their occupied policy was to. It was to enforce the advancement of a religious freedom. And so the religious cooperation law that was created at that time was reviewed by a number of law officials or lawmakers within the GHQ. There were a number of lawyers in the GHQ headquarters. So those acts were principles were incorporated in the current the Religious Cooperation Act of Japan also.
Okay, regarding the Doram's questions, I think the future also. I think the real chances of lifting this anti, you know, the conversion provision in the constitution and in the law, because. In the parliament, in the constitution assembly also, in other civil society also, highly we hear the any, you know, the pressure demands to lift that provision, that in one. Even rather than there are the some, you know, the fanatics groups, Hindu fanatics groups, and come, you know, Nepal should, you know, the population, 18 million population, 80%, more than 80% population of Hindu, it should be remain the Hindu state, that type of, you know, the voice is coming, whereas the lifting the anti-conversion provision, is, maybe there are some very, you know, as we say, the macroscopic minority, maybe somewhere this type of bias. So regarding the, you know, the Article 18CC also, I see the very rare chances of these things to coming in the near future also. This is my only personal view. Thank you very much.
All right, once again, please join me in thanking our panelists for a very interesting session.